السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله العلي الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى. أشهد أنه لا إله إلا هو، له الأسماء الحسنى، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صاحب المقام المعلى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, mothers, sisters, listeners, Sa'id bin Musayyab rahmatullah alayhim has a famous quote and a saying, and he mentions, "Inda dhikri salihin tanzilu rahmah." Whenever you mention the life or an incident or an anecdote of a pious person, then the mercy of Allah descends. Whenever you make mention of a pious person, a salih person, the mercy of Allah descends. Now I say to you, this masjid has been running a series on seerah, on the noble personality of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If the mercy of Allah descends at the mention of any pious person, imagine the extent of the descension of Allah's mercy when mention is made of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then imagine the extent of the descension of Allah's mercy when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned on a Friday at the time of Jumu'ah in the house of Allah. Discussing seerah is noble. Discussing seerah on a Friday at the time of Jumu'ah in the house of Allah, only Allah knows how noble that is. You and I, we are fortunate to be part of such discussions in such a place at such a time, and we are fortunate, or we will be more fortunate, if we can take the lesson and if we can imbibe that great legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam into our lives. Let us recite durood. Let us send salawat upon Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa murshidina wa muta'ana wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. The topic that I have been given, the final topic in the series on seerah, is the journey to Medina. The journey to Madinatul Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And essentially, this journey is about the hijrah, the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara. Now, hijrah had taken place prior to the hijrah. There were two hijras that took place to Habasha, to Abyssinia. But the big difference is that hijrah did not include Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A select group of Sahaba went, then they came back, and another select group of Sahaba went to Abyssinia and they came back. But this migration meant that all of the Muslims were instructed to migrate from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara. Now, it's a very important topic because hijrah was a significant event in the history of Islam. So significant that Amirul Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an, when during his khilafah the question arose that we need an Islamic calendar. We need an Islamic calendar, but where should we start the Islamic calendar from? Because now the state was developing in the time of Umar radiallahu an, and his governor started to tell him that, you know, correspondence is going to and fro. There's no dates. We need our own calendar. And he made mashwara and he consulted with the Sahaba and different opinions were given. And one opinion that was given to Umar radiallahu an is that let's start our calendar from the hijrah. This epic journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara. And when Umar radiallahu an gave preference to this view, he mentioned the reason. He said that this hijrah, this epic journey, it indicates that the struggle between haqq and batil, the struggle between truth and falsehood, will always be ongoing up to the day of Qiyamah. It may come in different forms, the struggle between haqq and batil, but the fundamental characteristics will be the same. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, I want the Islamic calendar to start from the Hijrah, because at least once a year, I want Muslims to remember that that Hijrah gives us many lessons that will enable us to continue the struggle for haqq and to continue the struggle against batil. So hence, it's a very important topic in the greater life story of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know Umar, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anh says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every Nabi had a muhaddath. Every Nabi had one person in his ummah who was inspired by Allah. That when he took decisions, you could see that this was not the decision of an ordinary human. This decision was inspired by Allah. And the Nabi of Allah said, if there is to be one such person in my ummah, it would be Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. And Umar took this decision that the Islamic calendar would start with the Hijrah. That's why we say 1439 years after Hijrah, or 1439 Hijri. Now, the Jummah talk is obviously very brief. It doesn't allow for us to unpack the entire journey of the Hijrah, to go through it step by step, you know, to unpack and to elaborate and to deliberate over all of the details of the journey. The time does not allow us. So I'm going to take a particular approach where I want to speak about seven lessons that we can take from this great journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, this journey, it started in a very similar way to that of Nubuwwah. Nubuwwah started with pious dreams. Prior to the Hijrah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to see dreams that he is to make Hijrah to a place which has an abundance of date palms. And the Nabi of Allah thought, maybe it is Yamama, maybe it is Hajar. And then eventually he was told it's Yathrib, which was the name of Madinatul Munawwara at that time. Other narrations say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given a choice. Because people of honor, you give them a choice. Do you want to eat this or that or that? Do you want this one or that one? So Allah gave Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam a choice between a few cities, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose Medina. After Medina was stipulated, the instruction was given to the Sahaba to start making Hijrah. And they made Hijrah individually, they made Hijrah in batches, but over a period of time, all of them had made Hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara. Now, seven lessons I have mentioned that I want to talk about in light of this epic journey of Hijrah. First, and this is an important lesson that we don't often speak about, and that is sometimes in life, you need to change not only the plan of action, but the place of action. Sometimes in life, you need to change not only the plan of action, but the place of action. After 13 years of trying to convince the Meccans, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized it was time now to move to a place which would be more conducive for the establishment and the practicing of Islam. This was not an easy decision. I mean, you're living in Makkah. You're leaving Makkah. But at times you need to make very difficult decisions, very painful decisions to achieve a particular goal and to achieve a particular objective. And we know what happened after the Hijrah to Medina. 8 years later, the Hijrah to Medina laid the foundation for the conquest of Makkah. Whereas if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba stayed in Makkah, perhaps they would not have seen that degree of success and prosperity. So a painful decision had to be made to change the place of action, to change the plan of action. So in life, you cannot continue to do the same thing over and over again if you're not achieving the desired results. At times you have to make a very painful decision that I need to move on, I need to move differently, I need to change my approach, I need to change the place from which I am conducting business. So that's the first lesson. The second lesson, and this is an eternal lesson, success always comes on the back of sacrifice. I mean, you people love Cape Town, don't you? I mean, even I love Cape Town, and I'm not born here, and I haven't stayed here. So you have to love Cape Town. You can go anywhere in the world. Ek wil terugkom na Kaapstad. Imagine, this is Cape Town, it's beautiful, but it's not Makkah. It's not the focal point, it's not the central point of the earth, it's not the place where the first masjid was built, where the Kaaba is erected. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in Makkah, he stayed in Makkah, he got married in Makkah, he had children in Makkah, 53 years in Makkah. And he had to make that sacrifice of leaving Makkah. He looked at the Kaaba with a heart that was quaking and aching. And he said, "Oh Makkah, what a beautiful, wonderful city you are. Had it not been that my people are not allowing me to practice Islam, I would have never left you. But the demands of the time, the strategy, the plan of action dictate to me that I have to leave you as beloved as you are to me." You know, you and I, we go for Umrah, and when we leave Makkah, our hearts quake and our tears flow. Imagine 53 years. 53 years. The sacrifice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But with sacrifice comes reward and success. Immediately Allah revealed the verse, "Innal ladhi farada alayka al-Qur'ana laradduka ila ma'ad." Don't worry, my Nabi. You make the sacrifice, you will come back to Makkah as a conqueror. You will become the leader of Makkah by virtue of the sacrifice that you made. Look at Sahaba at the time of Hijrah, that they had to make sacrifice. The first sacrifice was made by who? Abu Salama and Ummu Salama radiyallahu anhuma. Abu Salama was the foster brother of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the first now to answer the call to make hijrah. And it's an emotional story, wallah. He's there with his wife and his young son, baby, and they're leaving Makkah. And his in-laws come. You know the in-laws, khafarlak. I think I shared this one with you all previously. Husband and wife had a fight, so then the son came and said, "Dad, help me with my homework." He said, "What's it?" He said, "How do you say in Afrikaans the good, the bad, and the ugly?" So the husband said, "Ek me fro en me skoon ma." So Abu Salama is making hijrah with his wife and his young son. His in-laws come and they say, "Wat denk jy? Wat gaan jy? You want to make hijrah? Go. Our daughter will stay right here. Right here." So they separate his wife and his son from him. And then his family comes. You see, in-laws are khafarlak both ways. So his family comes and says to the wife, No. You can't go back to your family with our grandson. We're taking the child by us. They started off as a family. They've hardly left Makkah. They have been split three ways. Abu Salama is going to Medina. Ummu Salama is going to her family under duress, and that child is taken kicking and screaming from the lap and the breast of his mother to his now paternal grandparents. And Ummu Salama says, "They kept us like that for 1 year. Every day I used to go to that spot and I used to cry over the separation, not only from my husband but from my son." It was on the back of that sacrifice of Sahaba that the hijrah took place. When Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anh was leaving Makkah, he came to Makkah as a slave. Then Allah opened his way and he made money. The Meccans came to him and they said the same thing, "Va dankye, va khanye. Suhaib, you want to go to Medina, be our guest. But the money you made in Makkah, you leave every cent behind. Not a portion, not like SARS. They say you can take so much out of the country, but so much you must leave it. No, every cent, because you came as a slave to Makkah. You own nothing, you were owned. So you must leave behind every cent." Without any hesitation, Suhaib radiallahu anhu said, "Take every cent. The pleasure of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is of greater value to me." Let me say to you, brothers, this deen spread by the sacrifice of Sahaba. What does Allah want from us? Allah only wants us to sacrifice a few desires. Allah is not telling you that leave Makkah, like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to leave Makkah. Allah is not saying that leave your wife one place and your son another place. Allah is not saying give up every sin that you own. Allah is saying a few desires of yours that are taking you away from me, that are taking you away from Islam. Sacrifice those desires for Allah. This deen reached us by the wealth and the blood and the life of Sahaba, all we are expected to give is to slay and to sacrifice a few desires. So that's the second. The third lesson we learn from Hijrah is about the importance of precise and meticulous planning. Normally we as Muslims, we think, no, when you're doing anything religious, when you're doing Allah's work, just do it and Allah will take care of everything. No, that is contrary to the Sunnah. If there was anyone who was secure when it came to divine assistance, if there was anyone who was guaranteed of divine assistance, it was Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet when the Nabi of Allah was to undertake this journey of Hijrah, I'm just giving it to you in short, he made Ali radiallahu anhu sleep in his bed, so they must not know he left. He hid in the cave. He made the son of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu spy, go and mingle amongst the enemy. He took the service of a professional guide. He used a route that was not normally used. And there are many other examples. I'm just giving you a few. If you look, the Nabi of Allah had a plan. He had a strategy. He thought it out. He didn't say, no, Allah wants me to make hijrah, so Allah will help me. That was there. That aspect and that element of tawakkul is there. There's no doubt. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam meticulously and thoroughly he planned. And that's why we learn from the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, that whatever you do, do it meticulously. Plan well. Now how do you balance between planning and tawakkul, reliance on Allah? Simple. Before you start planning, you rely on Allah. You make the best of plans, but you don't rely on your plan, you rely on Allah. And if your plan succeeds, you don't attribute it to yourself, you attribute it to Allah. But plan you must. And when you plan, and then things still go wrong because of circumstances that are beyond your control, then Allah's assistance will come. The Nabi of Allah meticulously planned. But then the Meccans reached the mouth of the cave. Then Allah put His system into place. The ghaybi intizam, the system of the unseen. And we know the web that was spun and the eggs that were laid. And they thought no one could have passed here. That's when he said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that we have done the best which was within our ability. We have planned to the best of our ability. Now, la tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. Don't worry, Allah is with us. They took that unknown route. They had the guidance of a professional guide. But then Suraqa, who later became radiallahu anhu, he was after the bounty and he managed to find them. And when he was approaching, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got scared. And again the Nabi of Allah said, la tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. Don't worry, we have planned to the best of our ability. Now we leave it to Allah. Now we leave it to Allah. And as Suraqa was coming, he started to sink into the ground. And he said, oh, it looks like you are making dua against me. Make dua for me. So the Nabi of Allah made dua for him. And then he came up. And then again, you know, that greed for wealth. So he decided, let me go again. If I can capture Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'll be the richest man in Makkah. And again, he started to sink into the earth. And again, he says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, make dua for me. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes dua for him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows us what a visionary he was. He said, oh Suraqa, today you chasing me on the back roads of Makkah to Medina, a time will come when my people will conquer the empire of the Persians and the Romans. And when that time came, Umar radiallahu anh told him, Suraqa, do you remember? He said, oh Amirul Mu'minin, how can I forget? On the back of that sacrifice of Hijrah, there was a time to come when the Roman and the Persian empires were conquered by the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that's the third lesson that we learn from Hijrah. Meticulous planning. The fourth lesson. When the Nabi of Allah reaches outside of Medina, he stops at Quba. He builds a masjid. Then he travels a short distance. He comes to the locality of Salim bin Auf. He builds a masjid. When he comes to Medina, before he builds his own house, he builds a masjid. What does that teach us? The prosperity of Muslims individually and collectively will be linked to Salah and the masjid. Because a man is made out of the outer and the inner. We take care of our physical bodies. The first and fundamental requirement of our physical bodies is to have shelter. Well, the home of your soul, which is the other half of your existence, and the more important half of your existence, because the soul came first, and the soul will continue to the journey into the akhirah. the home of the soul is the masjid. And the food of the soul, the nourishment of the soul is salah. So you can be physically strong, but you can be spiritually weak if you don't have that connection with Allah. And the mercy of Allah comes from the arsh to the Kaaba and from the Kaaba to every masjid. So the ruh of every Muslim needs to be attached to their local masjid, because that's the spiritual power station that needs to cater for the spiritual needs of every home and every individual in that locality. That's why wherever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped, in Makkah he was restricted. As soon as now he was not even in Medina, but the outskirts of Medina, establish a masjid, establish a masjid, establish a masjid. That's why Umar radiallahu anhu, when he wrote that letter to his governors, he said, "Inna ahamma amrikum 'indi as-salah, faman hafidhaha wa hafidha 'alayha faqad hafidha deena." The most important thing is your salah. If you protect your salah, your entire deen is protected. If your salah is not protected, your entire deen is vulnerable. Of course, there'll be social problems, political problems, economic problems, and you will have social, political, and economic solutions. But none of your solutions will be effective until you don't have the spirituality to back it. You can be the most intelligent, most experienced, most talented person, but your success will depend on the spirituality that will fuel all of your projects, all of your initiatives, all of your plans and actions. And that spirituality, the connection to the source of spirituality, which is Allah, is via the salah, via masjid. So Hijrah teaches us the importance of the masjid and the importance of salah. The fifth, Hijrah taught us the true nature of brotherhood. I can't go into the details because of the brevity of time. But we know when the Muhajireen came to Medina, the Ansar took them in. The Ansar were willing to share everything with them. So in the Ansar, you see generosity. But then in the Muhajireen, you see shukran for your help. I'll take it for now. But teach me how to become independent in Medina. And that is what brotherhood is all about. You must be willing to help. But you must only take help as a short-term relief. Long-term, you must see how you can create independence for yourself. So when Muslims are in need, assist them. But don't give them a fish all the time. Teach them how to fish. And those who are on the receiving end, don't continue to take until you know nothing but how to take. No. Continue to take in the short-term. And in the long-term, see how you can make yourself independent. So that's the fifth thing. The sixth lesson that we learn when it comes to the hijrah and this epic journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is about how to be a good citizen and how to be a patriot. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Medina, it was a dirty city. It was a polluted city. They cleaned the city. They dug the wells. They cultivated the lands. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself made dua to Allah that, "Oh Allah, remove the sickness from Medina. Grant barakah to Medina. Grant barakah to Medina." It shows that you can be a Muslim. You can have international solidarity with Muslims around the world. You can love the Muslim holy lands. But that does not mean you must not be a patriotic citizen in your own country and in your own city. Be an active citizen. Be a patriotic citizen in your own country and in your own city. This is another lesson that the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam teaches us. So those are the six. And I move on to the seventh. I had mentioned that the hijrah is about the eternal struggle between haqq and batil. And in every struggle, you need a hero. In every struggle, you need a hero. And the hero of the hijrah was none other than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. During the journey of hijrah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Oh Abu Bakr, sometimes I see you walking in front of me, sometimes you're walking behind me, sometimes on the right, sometimes on the left. Why?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, when I think the danger is coming from the front, I walk in front of you. When I think the danger is coming from the back, I walk behind you." So the Nabi of Allah says, "Oh Abu Bakr, are you putting yourself between me and danger? Are you putting your life on the line for my life?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, if Allah gave me 100 lives, I would sacrifice every one of those lives to preserve your one life." The hero of the hijrah is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When they enter the cave and he sees that hole, "Akenye, if we see a snake there, we run there. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh sits on that hole to protect Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from harm. And that snake bites and bites and bites, and he cements himself. Imagine the physical courage. Imagine the mental courage. Imagine the emotional strength that you need. Imagine what love you need to have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallah, I love my wife. I love my children. But I don't know if I will be able to tolerate repeated snake bites just to protect them from harm. He took bite after bite. Only when his tears started to flow, did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wake up and realize that Abu Bakr is being bitten by a venomous snake, but his intention is to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who would do that unless they had true and genuine love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If you look at that verse, my time is always almost up. Look at what the verse says. The Quraysh wanted to kill the Nabi of Allah. No man in his right mind would accompany the Nabi of Allah unless he was willing to give his life for or with the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That alone should tell us about the caliber of Abu Bakr and the degree of his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Nabi of Allah was a man of great intuition. He would never have chosen someone for such a dangerous journey unless he was absolutely confident that this is the man who loves me the most and this is the man who is the most loyal to me. That's why when somebody saw Umar radiallahu anh, in his time, the Muslims had achieved great success. They said, Umar, maybe you're better than Abu Bakr. He said, what nonsense are you talking? That one night that Abu Bakr radiallahu anh spent in the cave with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is more weighty in the scale of good deeds than all of the good actions in the life of Umar and in the progeny of all those who will come after Umar. That one night of love, that one night of loyalty. Look at how the Quran speaks about Abu Bakr. Thaniyathnain. He was the second of the two. Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi says that if he was the second of the two, that it means he would be the successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the second comes after the first. Idh huma fil ghar. Allah says, when the two of them were in the cave, he is the yare ghar, he is the companion of the cave. Idh yaqulu li sahibih. The only man to be given the title of sahabi in the Quran is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because it's an undeniable fact that he was in the cave. And Allah says that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his sahib, to his companion. The Quran endorses him as a sahabi. And what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to him? La tahzan. Don't grieve. Musa alayhi salam was worried only about himself when the stick turned into a snake. So what was said to Musa alayhi salam? La takhaf. Don't fear. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was not only worried about himself, he was worried more about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why it was said to him, La tahzan. Don't grieve. Inna Allah ma'ana. Abu Bakr, Allah is with me and Allah is with you. When Musa alayhi salam spoke to his people when the army of Pharaoh were coming, he said, Inna Rabbi ma'i. My Allah is with me. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam spoke to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, Allah is with us. Allah is with us. So the hero of the hijrah was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This ummah owes an eternal debt to Abu Bakr radiallahu an. But all the Sahaba wanted from us in return was for us to uphold the commands of Allah and to uphold the seerah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My time is almost up. Let me conclude with this incident. One day, three youngsters who were university graduates, they were on a ship. And the sailor of the ship was a simpleton. So the one guy who had a degree in mathematics, so I told him, hey, Viet ye wat is viskunde? Do you know what is maths? That man says, no. He says, you never studied maths? Say, no. Say, you've wasted your life, man. So the other one was a graduate in science. So he tells him, do you know what is science? He says, no. Say, you've wasted your life. The other one, he was a graduate in engineering. He told him, do you know what is engineering? He said, I don't even know what it is. He said, you've wasted your life. Then the ship hit stormy waters, and he started to sink. And this man, the sailor, was about to jump overboard. So these youngsters came to him and said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to swim to the shore. So they're looking at him. They say, we don't know how to swim. He said, you've wasted your life. What's the lesson we learn from here? To know about every other science and to know about every other individual is important. But you must have priorities in life. It is most important for us to know seerah. To know the story of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I want to end this entire series on this note. The scholars tell us every Muslim must read one new book of seerah every year. Because every scholar will bring a different lesson and a different gem to the fore from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We love the Nabi of Allah. I'm not saying it, he said it. One day he said to Sahaba, "When will I meet my brothers? When will I meet my brothers?" Sahaba said, "Ya Rasulullah, are we not your brothers?" He said, "No, antum ashabi. You are my companions. You know who are my brothers? Those who will come long after me. They will not see me, but they will have so much of love for me. They will be willing to sacrifice anything and everything for one opportunity to just see me or meet me. Those are my brothers. You and I. There's no one in this whole masjid who's not willing to sacrifice anything or everything for one glimpse and one meeting with Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So he acknowledged our love for him even before we were born. We have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I read something so epic at the time of Hajj. Somebody had tweeted and said, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away 1400 years ago, yet he remains the most visited man on the planet. He passed away 1400 years ago, but he remains the most visited man on the planet. But we need to take that love now to the next level. We need to live the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The seerah is our roadmap as individual Muslims, as a ummah collectively. We have problems. We have issues. The solution is in the best of lives. The example is the best of examples. The legacy is the best of legacy. It cannot adorn our bookshelves. Start reading seerah. Start listening to talks on seerah. Start studying seerah. Keep studying seerah till your last breath. But most importantly, do it with the intention that you can start living the seerah. That will be the sign of true love. May Allah grant it to me. May Allah grant it to you. May Allah grant it to all of us. May Allah grant us true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah enable us to continue to study the seerah and the sunnah. And may Allah enable us to live our lives in accordance with the seerah and sunnah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.